perhaps our praise will become a little less inhibited with knowing it's okay to dance in church. Most of us would probably be willing to try one of these, but the getting up off the floor from the splits, not so much. Imagine a brand new manufacturing plant cost $1 billion. And for most of us, that's still a lot of money. For our government, of course not. But for us, we get the idea that's a whole lot of money. $1 billion, and they have got everything in there so that it is the nicest, it is the cleanest, it is the most efficient, and therefore will be the most profitable plant that has ever been constructed. Now, within this plant, they get it all built, and suddenly they are finding business people are coming to view it. They are coming to tour it from all over the globe. From the entire world, people are just swarming to this plant to see this new $1 billion manufacturing plant that is really going to do something. But with all of these people coming, they've delayed their start of production. And so that as the people are coming in to tour it, they're seeing this equipment, this brilliant equipment that is bright and shiny new. Because it doesn't look much like a manufacturing plant. It looks a whole lot more like a display. For you see, the manufacturing plant isn't really evaluated on how it looks, but it's evaluated on what it produces. That's not a whole lot different than disciples for Jesus Christ. That as we place ourselves in his hands, it really doesn't matter how we look. It really doesn't matter what activities we involve ourselves in. We have been designed for productivity, for producing. And what we are designed to produce is spiritual fruit. And of course, this takes us to a very familiar passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, where we'll talk about the vine and the branches. Let us begin by looking at first that we have the purpose of cutting and pruning in verses 1 through 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, Jesus here in this event, these are the last couple hours Jesus has with the disciples, and they're getting ready to move on out. They've probably left the upper room. They're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and as they are, they're passing by the temple gate. On the temple gate is a vine in bronze up on this gate, and it has these words upon it from Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The vine imagery was very much in place for the nation of Israel. We can see here that Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. And here we're talking about that which is genuine as opposed to that which would be counterfeit. So for Jesus to be the true vine, he's saying Israel had its purpose and failed to draw the other nations unto God. So now I have stepped in to demonstrate myself, as opposed to the nation of Israel, that I am the true vine. In so doing, Jesus is establishing very clearly that he changes the whole dynamic of what spirituality is. Because formerly it was being in the right religion. It was having the right ceremonies. It was in being able to be part of an organization. And Jesus is saying, no, none of this stuff counts anymore. If you're rightly related to me, the true vine, then that's good. And if you aren't, that's not good. So Jesus is establishing himself as the true vine. He goes on and he says here that God the Father is the gardener. He's the one who is responsible. And notice there he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So we see a twofold process here. There's the cutting away of that that's not producing, and there is the pruning of that that is. So both are getting cut. Now it's very important for us to understand in this passage, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is only talking to believers. It is very important that we understand he is talking about productivity, fulfilling the purpose of spiritual fruitfulness. He is not talking about salvation. In no way is somebody being cut off from God. That is not what he's talking about in this passage. It's so important we understand that. He's talking about productivity. And what he's saying is that if you're unproductive, that he is going to set you aside, get you out of the way of those that are being productive so that they can be even more productive. So if we want to know, each one of us at one time or another, hopefully not recently, have found ourselves looking at those that we would deem unproductive in their spiritual life. Why don't they just get it? Why don't they just do things the way that God wants it to be done? And we're contemplating, what should we do? How should we address this, that this person moves from being unproductive to being productive? And here we've got our answer. We never have to worry about them. God's the gardener. He does. If they're going to be a problem towards our productivity for Jesus Christ, he'll get them out of the way. But we don't know. We don't have the discernment. Is it a matter of cutting away? Or is it a matter of pruning? God does know. He's the gardener. So he's going to know whether they need to be cut away, gotten out of the way, or whether they simply need to be pruned. Now the word there for prune is exactly the same word as clean. But any time the word is used when it's talking about taking care of a vine, it always means pruning. But it's important to understand the whole idea of clean, because you'll see it there in verse 3 as the word is repeated. So as he's pruning, the whole idea of pruning there is that you're cutting away live plant. It looks good. It doesn't look like it's bad. But it's making the whole process of productivity less efficient. And so God will cut out those things to make us even more productive. And that's his purpose here, that Jesus is describing God the Father as both the gardener, both the one who cuts away and the one who prunes. Now, it's very important as we look at this, take a look again at verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The pruning process in the life of the believer is inseparable from the Word of God, from our Bible. How do we know Jesus' words? Well, they're in here. They're right in here. And so if we are adhering to what is in there, then we're going to know what's going to be pruned away from us. Sometimes what gets pruned away is what needs to get pruned away. But other times what gets pruned away isn't something that we would necessarily describe as evil. It's just being a distraction from us, taking our focus off of being tied to the vine. And so that we aren't as productive as we could be. God's design for us, purpose, is that we would produce spiritual fruit. The idea is the more is better. Secondly, we can see in verses 4 and 5, stay connected to produce. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain, abide, stay in constant communion with Christ. That raises the immediate question, well, how do we do that? Well, we can see that we need to listen to God. We need to know God, and we need to do what he says. Drawing back from last week, obedience is very key here to remaining in fellowship with Christ. If we're not doing what he's telling us to do, then we're not abiding, we're not remaining, we're not staying in fellowship with Christ. It's important that we do those things that he tells us to do. Now, within this, of course, that it's for the believer to be effective, he's got to be depending upon this constant flow of life from the vine. Using the analogy here, we've recently had some storms, and many of us have experienced some branches that have broken off of the trees. I know I had several significant ones from the heavy snow that was less than a month ago. And within that, as I went out to clean up these branches, I'm cutting them, even though they are detached from the tree. I'm cutting them and they look just fine. The branches still look healthy. They look like they could keep on growing. But the reality is, they've been separated from the life of the tree. And in a few short days, all of these leaves are going to wither and die because there is no life flowing through them. Jesus gives us this analogy so that we can understand if we are going to be profitable for ourselves and for anyone else, we've got to be in that constant communion with him. That's our life flow. That's the life that is going to keep us alive and be able to produce the fruitfulness that God has designed for us. Now, of course, then when we see this, then the opposite is also true. When we don't stay in constant fellowship with the Lord, which is sin, by the way. Anytime we're breaking fellowship with the Lord, that's sin. We can still look okay, like the leaves on those branches, but there's no life flow. So there will be no fruit that is produced. We must stay connected to Christ in order to be able to show his power and that he wants to produce in our lives. Christ is not here in bodily form. You know, he's gone on. We are his hands and feet, or as we would see here, we are his branches, on which the ends of which is where he produces his spiritual fruit. The very life, the very power that he has, as it is to flow to this world, is through his disciples, is through his branches, that we will be able to produce that which is beneficial. Number three, verses 6-8. Let us take a look at connection provides abundance. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, it's interesting here that we must remember that he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about productivity. Jesus isn't warning us about being separated from Christ and thrown into the fire and burned. He's talking about the production floor, that he's going to get people off of the production floor that aren't being productive. So as we take a look at this, we all know we don't have to look back that far. We can simply take a look at this last week, and with the Holy Spirit giving us a little bit of a nudge, we can know that there were times, there were moments that we were not being productive for Jesus Christ. That we had allowed our own will, our own way, to separate us from that constant communion. And we've got to take that nudging from the Holy Spirit as a blessing that we can recognize. It's like, wow, I'm not being as productive as I could be. Which brings us to the point that as God, the Father, as the gardener going through this, can you imagine if he came out and he asked all of us, he says, hey, we're having a little bit of a production lull right now. And so, yeah, I need to cull out some of the least productive ones. Before I get started, do I have any volunteers that would be willing to be cut away from the production floor? There's not a single one of us that's going to raise our hand. None of us want to be unproductive for God. No. Just prune me. Go ahead, prune me. But don't cut me away. There's a desire within us to want to be productive for God. Our Lord wants us to capture that bit of motivation and do something positive with it. And of course, you know, one of the things that's really cool here is this, within this constant communion with the Lord, this life flow, is answered prayer. You know, we see that there, whatever you ask, it will be given you. Why? Because we're going to be asking for what? Greater productivity. Oh, Lord, make me your vessel that produces a whole lot of spiritual fruit. That's a prayer. God's going to answer. And so we can get excited about the fact. You want answered prayer in your life? Get in communion with him. Get in close communion with him. Get your heart aligned with him. You'll be asking for what he wants you to ask him for, and he will give it, because that is his desire. That is his promise. Okay, so as we're putting this together then, we want to see that God wants us to be productive. And if we are, that this constant communion we have with the Lord is going to fuel us in our communion with Christ. We are going to be in close communion with Christ. We're going to be obedient to Christ. And we're certainly going to be absorbing the word of Christ that we may be most productive. And this is really, really awesome. Because when we are able to do that, the whole world is going to see we belong to Jesus. And Jesus slips this one in because he knows how the human heart is. He wants us to grab that this is proof to ourselves. We are his branch. We are his productive branch. And it's all to the glory of God. Now, quickly, let me give you three things here that maybe we can just hit on real quick before you go that can help you apply these verses in your life this week. Number one, we cannot produce fruit apart from Christ. This one should be so obvious that apart from Christ, we can't do anything. Too often, people are trying to impress other people to let them know, I'm doing okay. When what we really need to be concerned with is putting ourselves in the path of blessing with God, only in close communion with Christ can we be spiritually productive. There is no spiritual productivity apart from the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need to embrace the pruning process. Number one, it's a whole lot better than being cut away. Being cut away means you've been removed from the production floor. You're biding your time. You're wasting away. You're not fulfilling God's purpose in this life. And God had to set you aside so he didn't interfere with his work. But to be pruned is that painful process in which he's looking at taking away some of those things that are maybe not so good, but even taking away some of those other things that may be good so that we can be at our best. We need to embrace that. Oh, Lord, I don't want to give up that. And the Lord's saying, but with that, your focus is off of me. You're making this about yourself. And so Christ will prune us so that we can respond to him as we should, and that we will certainly experience God in a greater way in our lives. Number three, don't settle for less. In American Christianity, there just seems to be this pervading attitude that if I'm producing just a little bit of spiritual fruit in my life, that's good enough. That lets me know I'm in with Jesus and I feel secure about that. So I can have a little bit of Jesus, and it's not going to totally discombobulate my life. Unfortunately for all of us, the way that God has designed life, the way that God has designed life with him, is you're either grabbing a hold of a wholehearted motivation to serve Jesus, or your Christian life is going to frustrate the snot out of you. That's the way he's drawn it up. Jesus is not looking for those that want to produce a little fruit, because with a little fruit, when you're not producing, you're falling away and you aren't receiving the benefit of the very life flow he wants to put within us. We're abandoning what is important to him. So instead, when Jesus says, look at what he says. He says, if you abide in me, if you remain in me, if you stay in close fellowship with me, you will produce much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit. Not more fruit. Much fruit. What is Jesus' desire for your life this week? Is that you would produce much fruit. Will you ask God to stand out, to be special? Not like the rest of these American Christians that want just a little bit of spiritual fruit just so they can say they're in. But rather one that says, Lord, make me one of yours. In me, produce much fruit. Make me discontent until through me you produce much fruit. Father, thank you for such a lovely, encouraging, and yet challenging passage. The analogy of the vine and the branches. You are the vine. There is no life flow apart from you. May we be moved to take advantage of the spiritual resources you've made available to us, that through us, you will produce much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to the close of our service today, would certainly encourage anyone that would have a decision that they would wish to make public, whether for baptism, for church membership, for coming to know Jesus Christ for the first time in their life, would just ask you to make your way up here now. If you have a question you want to talk to me about later, that's perfectly fine too. Let us stand. May we celebrate Memorial Day by getting as close to Jesus as we possibly can. Father, we thank you that we have gathered here together today to worship you, to celebrate you, to celebrate life as a good gift from you. Lord, there is nothing we can do to help your purposes in this world without staying close to you. May that be a constant longing of our heart. May we desire to be yours. May we be discontent without having much fruit. Dismiss us with your blessing in Christ's name. Amen.